Thank you, Colin, for those songs. I love that line, love paid the ransom for me. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning, especially our visitors. We're going to look today at stumbling blocks. I individually am a huge fan of slapstick. Love Laurel and Hardy, love the Three Stooges. Used to love that beginning of, here's talking about getting old. Love the beginning of the old Dick Van Dyke Show, how he'd come in from work and fall over the little ottoman there and take a tumble in the living room. That, to me, that's a hoot. Somebody slipping on a banana peel, falling downstairs, something like that. We're not talking about that kind of stumbling blocks. We're talking about stumbling blocks of sin today. And there's nothing funny about that. So our scripture reading, which Tracy read, and I appreciate him reading that, Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, and he said in verse 13, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in a brother's way." But judging each other is so much simpler. It's so much easier to be judging each other. That's the easy part. But instead of doing that, we're not to put a stumbling block in the way of a brother. I guess that was happening. I guess that was taking place with Christians, that they were stumbling because of other Christians. This is the goal, that we always hit the mark. Our goal is that we never cause a brother to stumble, that we aid them, that we quit judging, but we definitely not cause somebody to stumble. That's our goal, okay? In Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his brother." That of his friend. That's what our goal should be, that we sharpen each other, that we're better because of each other. That's probably the greatest compliment I could give somebody. From my eyes, that I'm a better person because I've known you. That I'm a better Christian because of my association with you. And here in Proverbs, that's how we are supposed to be portrayed, that we make each other better, that we sharpen each other. You sharpen each other like a knife, so that knife can do its work, so that knife, a tool, can be maximum utilized to its ultimate. We don't dull each other. Hopefully we don't hamper the use of what we're supposed to be doing, but rather sharpen each other. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another." That, first of all, that takes effort. We have to consider each other. Put each other in the forefront of our minds. Each other, not just us. Tell you, this verse says a lot. This says a lot. C- consider one another. Why? To stir up love and good works. And if we just read the very next verse, is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, it's kind of hard to stir each other up if we're never together. I guess you can have a long distance friendship or something like that. I know Stacy's friends with some friends of ours, of hers in Texas. But I tell you, it's not the same as if you're seeing each other often. You know, when you do get together, that you can build each other up. This is more the reality. I have every intent to hit that bullseye all the time, to do my duty as a Christian all the time. But a lot of times this is what happens. You know, a lot of the arrows fall short. Maybe hit the target, but you know, don't hit the bullseye. And I'm sure many of you are probably like that too. I'm preaching to me. If any of you get something out of it, great. I hope you do. This is for me. Mark 9:42, Jesus says this. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. He's talking about little children, but the concept applies to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus was referring to if you cause a little child to stumble. The concept is the same for us. That if we cause anybody, one of his children, that it would have been better, a big millstone. Big millstones, we don't really use millstones anymore. We go to the store and we buy, you know, a packaged flour and all, you know. Big millstones used to be used for grinding grain into flour. And there were these big old stones. Could you imagine? Now, first of all, I hate swimming. I hate it. I don't like swimming. But could you imagine going swimming with a 10-pound weight hanging around you? How tough that would be? Try it with a millstone. I don't know how much they weigh. More than 10 pounds. And Jesus says, whoever causes one of these who believe in me to stumble, it'd be better for them if you just put a millstone around them and throw them right into the water. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, we shouldn't take this too lightly. You know, when it's Dick Van Dyke stumbling over the stool is a hoot. But doing something to cause a brother or sister to sin, nothing funny about that. We're not talking the differences of personal likes and dislikes. We're not talking the things that we would prefer. The order of worship. Direction of the chairs. The color of the chairs. We're not talking about things like different personalities that we have. Different likes and dislikes. Newsflash. Some brothers and sisters can be irritating. Newsflash. We can. The scriptures say we're peculiar people. Some of us are more peculiar than others. We're not talking that. Things that of an opinion, different behaviors, different, some Christians can be embarrassing out in public. Some Christians, always the victim. We're not talking that. We're talking things that are sin, that are flat right or wrong. Things like gossip. Do you want to cause a brother or sister to stumble due to gossip? The way that, now Don, I'm gonna tell you something, but don't tell anybody. He's going to have a different view about somebody after I just tell him that. He might fall into the same trap that I had fallen into about gossip. The stumbling block of attendance. Do you want to cause somebody to stumble by what you teach about attendance? That it's not that important. That you'll be here if nothing better comes up. That you'll be here if you didn't have too much fun the night before and stayed up too late. Christian behavior. Watching by the way I behave as a Christian, would that cause somebody to stumble thinking that that's acceptable? We live in a town, it's nicknamed Sin City. You can go out your door. Yeah, you know what? You don't even have to go out your door. Sin can come to you. We've got drive-up sin in this town. He'll come to you. Manipulating the scriptures. Manipulating people. That's right and wrong. That's not a like or a dislike. That's just flat wrong. Causing ill feelings amongst brothers and sisters. These are the things we're talking about. Our response. We have the goal. We have the reality. But what's our response? 1 Corinthians 8 verse 9, Paul says, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak." Paul is talking in a fairly big passage here in Corinthians. In fact, the issue is brought up in numerous letters that he wrote, whether it be Galatians, 1 Corinthians. The issue was there was a lot of Jews that were converting to Christianity. And many of those Jews were teaching, you've got to continue with Jewish practices, Jewish festivals, circumcision. You can't eat certain dietary restrictions, whether it be a restriction or you can't eat meat sacrificed to idols, things like that. There in Corinth, there was a lot of pagan idol worship. And after they would sacrifice an animal, burn it on the altar or not, they would then sell it. Nothing wrong with it. I'll buy it. I'll eat it. They were selling it on the open market. Jews definitely wouldn't have bought it. But then Jews that had converted to Christianity say, you can't eat that stuff. Whether the dietary restrictions or the idea of a food sacrifice, Paul was saying, it's just food. You don't have to continue with that. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to keep this festival, this ceremony. And he says, but beware lest somehow this liberty of yours, you don't have to do it. But due to the liberty, you don't want to cause somebody else to stumble, showing that I can do it. Stiffen that neck, show those other Christians, I can do it whether you like it or not. In verse 13, just a couple of scriptures away, Paul says, if eating meat would cause my brother to sin, I won't eat meat again. That's his response. I won't cause my brother to stumble. Even though I've got the liberty to eat that meat, I won't cause my brother to stumble. Even though they are the less scripturally educated, I'm not going to do it. I have the liberty to. I'm not going to do it. In 1 Corinthians 10, just a couple of chapters later, verse 23, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. I may have the liberty to do something in God's eyes, but it doesn't mean that it's always helpful. He goes on to say, all things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Just because I have the liberty to do something, if it would cause somebody else to stumble, I shouldn't do it. If it doesn't build them up, if it causes strife, maybe I shouldn't do it. Romans 12:18, and it starts off with an if. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. There's an option there that it may not work out. But Paul is saying, if it's up to me, the ball's in my court, as much as it's to me, I am not going to do anything to not have peace. Now, I will draw the line with the sin stuff. I'm not going to compromise sin. I'm not going to compromise the Word of God. Paul would plant his feet, dig in. He's not going to move on that. But living peaceably, as much as it's up to you, don't let it be your fault. If you don't get along, there's people in my world I just don't get along with. And we don't cross paths. But not because of me. Paul says, if it's up to you, you live peaceably with all people, with all men. And girls, ladies, this is not the freebie for you. It says men, the concept's men and women. Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, in fact, we covered this, I don't know, a couple months ago in Sunday morning Bible class, Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Yeah, it's in there. I checked. It's in the Bible. Jesus said it. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That goes against the grain of our human nature. My personality is not this. But I'm being told by Jesus, I've got to, as a Christian, I've got to do this. And I've got to do it with a smile on my face. Love in my heart. A song in my heart. Okay? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. But Jesus, you just don't know. You don't know what people have done to me. You don't know how ugly this person's treated me. And Jesus is looking, really? I don't, huh? Do you want to rethink what you're saying? I'll give you a do-over. Do you want to start this conversation again? Think of Jesus was praying for them on the cross. Forgiving people on the cross after they had beaten him, spit upon him. Love your enemies. But Paul understood that it's as it is up to you, it's not always going to work. There's going to be some left up to them, it's not going to work. And he says, now I urge you, brethren, he's talking to Christians. I urge you, brethren, know those who cause divisions and offenses. Not somebody whose personality is different than yours. Not somebody that wants to go to this restaurant instead of that restaurant, and you wanted to go to that one. Not that. Not the likes and dislikes, personalities, sin. Note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. 2 Thessalonians, Paul again. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, and do not keep company with him. Why? To be mean to him? No. That they might be ashamed. That it will bring it to their attention. If Christians avoided that person, maybe it'd soak in that it's me. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That's the key. It's not we'll show them. It's not a being a clique. Let's get together and shun that person. No. You're doing it because they are sinning. Not because they always demand to go to the certain restaurant that they want to go to. Or the personality clash. Not that. They're causing division. And it's sin. And if you do that, don't do it in meanness. Admonish them as a brother. And then when they change, welcome them back with open arms. Brings us back to our scripture. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this. Not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. We've got an opportunity this week to build each other up. We've got an opportunity this week to edify each other, to teach each other, to make each other better, to sharpen each other. Or we have the option to be a stumbling block. Let's not be the stumbling block. Again, if you got something out of this, that is wonderful. This is for me. I need, and I'm going to try to focus this week to try to be uplifting to you. If you want to join me. I'm on a one-man crusade. If you want to join me, great. I'm going to try to lift you up. Maybe you could too. Okay? If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you've been studying and realized that you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we have the opportunity available for us right now. If there's sin in your life, if you've been a stumbling block to another brother or sister, straighten that out with them. Before you go out the door, straighten that out with each other to where you both feel good about each other again, where you can, we're going the same place. Let's go there holding hands instead of griping at each other. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there's something going on in your life that you're having trouble dealing with, that you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, by all means, let that be known. If you've been looking for a church home, if you've been maybe visiting different congregations of the Lord's church within the valley and would like to stay put with us, work and worship with us, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, if you'll stand and sing, let your during the invitation, let your needs be known. Come forward while we stand and sing.